Welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Helias Crusaders. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with the esteemed Tom Rackers. And before Tom and I start to dice things up this week, let's listen to a little bit of Tom's conversation with Helias head coach Chris Henches.
All right, Chris, let's take a quick look back to last week. You know, that first half came out, dominated, and, you know, the game was over.
Yeah, I thought we came out fast, both sides of the ball, took care of business. We had a comfortable lead at halftime. We had our starters come out. We received the football. We don't think it's important to keep the edge coming out of the halftime, and to have our starters come out and take that first drive down for a touchdown, and then we were reserves for the rest of the time.
You know, and record nights, Drew Miller quarterback gets a couple, and Trey Buxton gets a receiving record in the run of the game, basically.
Yeah. And, for him, it was just the defensive structure they were playing. Their linebacker kept cheating towards the box. He kept cheating towards the box, and we basically had 2-on-3 out there, so throw a bubble screen. I mean, that's what we were doing, throwing a bubble screen to our number three receiver, who was Trey. Some of those were called. Some of those were just sight adjustments or sight. We call them pre-snap RPOs. We have a run play on, but the quarterback always has the option to check to a bubble screen, or we have other screens too, but check to a throw that we can make that we think. And we always tell them, if you can get 5 yards or more, go ahead and do it. And we were able to do that every time we checked out of it.
Okay, this week, looking back to week three, people are going to see that score 58-16, but that wasn't really that way, was it?
No, it wasn't. We were down 16-10 at half, and we came out and, had a really fast start to the third quarter, score, stop, score. We grabbed the momentum and never gave it back to them, and we were able to put 48 points on the board in the second half, which is unusual in a half against a really quality team like Battle. But, we played really well. We're going to have to repeat that third and fourth quarter performance.
Looking back at the time, you said that may have been the best half of football Helias has played in a long time, and it probably was.
We had a lot of big plays. Defense played great, got us the ball back. We were just clicking on all phases. But, I think it was for them to a little bit of a letdown, and I don't think they played with the same kind of intensity in the second half once we got the edge that we're going to see on Friday night coming out. They're a football team that has just avenged a loss against Cap City, and I'm sure they're preaching that, hey, we have another loss that we can avenge with a win over Helias, and they'll come down ready to play football.
You thought you were done with Ricky Dunn, didn't you?
We faced him for many years, and he is a very great back, and I really thought it was a strong possibility with us being in the same district that we would face him again, and I'm glad I don't have to tackle him.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just joking, but he's a big physical runner. We did a good job of containing him. You never stop him, but we did a good job of containing him in that first matchup. And, a back like that, you have to get to him before he gets going. Once he gets ahead of steam, he is just a handful. And, our guys up front are going to have to do a really good job, because if he gets into the secondary, he's a handful for anybody to try to tackle. And, they really the offense, I think, runs through him. And that was a philosophy they had last week against Cap City. They're gonna lean heavy on him, which is really smart. When you got a back of that caliber, the quarterback still is an extremely dangerous runner and a good thrower of the football. And their receiver number 19 is the guy. He's their go-to deep play receiver. So, my guess is 90% of their offense or more is going to go through those three guys. So, they have our attention.
All right, that was Helias head coach Chris Henches, and before I start peppering Tom with some questions, let's do a little bit of table setting as far as it goes for Class 5, District 4. So we'll get to Helias' victory last week, but obviously the Crusaders have moved on. In other games, other first-round games, it was number 4 seed Timberland beating 5 seed Washington 42-19, and then in a game of note for Helias, and number 6 Battle upset number 3 Capital City 34-14, and number 1 seed Holt, of course, had the first-round bye. So let's go back as far as Elias is concerned, Tom, but, I mean, we kind of figured that it might be a pretty easy week for the Crusaders. 55-13 means that, yes, it was indeed a pretty easy week for them.
It was. They got some things accomplished that they wanted to get done. You know, there were a handful of records they were looking at, maybe trying to set, just kind of in the run of the game and in the first half, and they did. You know, Drew Miller set a single-season completion record and a single-season yardage record, and he and Sam Weirich combined for a single-season just Elias passing yardage record.
Okay.
And then Trey Bexton had 11 catches for, I can't remember how many yards, 160-some yards, and that was a record. And that record really came in the run of play. You know, sometimes you kind of force to get a record, but he had 8 catches in the first half, and it had a lot to do with the way that Wentzville Liberty was playing defense.
Right.
You know, they just kind of left him open, and they just audibled out of it and just threw him a short pass, and that's kind of a, and Chris was telling me that's kind of a rule. It said that if they can see that you can audible out and guarantee yourself at least 5 yards, do it. And okay. It happened over and over and over.
Just as kind of a point of curiosity on my point, on my standpoint, some of these schools just do it because they want you to set records in 10 games or, you know, because of old schedules and new schedules with the new being right. Regular season. Did any of that come into play, or is that just a, you know, however many games you play, that's how many chances you get to set a record in that season?
At Elias, I don't know about other places, but Elias, you know, for years, there was always a 10-game regular season. And so now all regular season records, all season records are for 10 games.
Okay.
Anything from here on out doesn't really count. I mean, but you could have a single game record in the playoffs.
Sure, absolutely. Okay. Just curious about that. So obviously now our attention turns forward to the fact that Elias now 8-2 is getting ready for a battle team that did pull an upset last week. That a lot of, you know, we knew they were dangerous, you know, and we knew they had the possibility, you know. But it is some sort of thing where you look at and go, well, now that improved them to 3-7. So it's a little bit surprising just from a standpoint of you go, you know, maybe the regular season record didn't lead you to believe it, but the play maybe during the regular season let you think that could be a possibility.
Yeah, I can't tell you how close when you asked me who I thought was going to win between Pound Cat. I was so close to picking battle because
right.
they're a team that is just talented. And if they were ever going to put it together, you know, you thought that, hey, a first round district game, get it focused, fellas,
right.
You know, and they did, obviously, you know, to beat Capital City by 20 is that's an impressive victory.
Exactly. Cause it wasn't even just so much that they won, which I think some of us thought there's a possibility, but it's probably going to be a back and forth. They may have to win a shootout because again, they've given up that. So a battle defense that had given up plenty this year only gave up 14 last week. So how concerning is that maybe for Elias heading into this game where you go, did they figure some stuff out? Or was it just a matter of that they were, you know, familiar with Capital City from having played them once before and were able to figure them out?
Let's say that it's like 30% the second one, 70%
right.
the first one.
Okay.
You know, it always helps to play somebody the first time, a time before.
Yeah.
And, you know, you learn what they like to do and gives you a chance to figure out a way to stop it. But they are better. You know, that first time you and I talked about the first meeting when Elias played them, week 3, 58-16 win.
Right.
We'll get to that in a minute, you know, but that the score very deceptive. That defense wasn't very good.
Okay.
And it hadn't been very good the first 2 weeks. And it wasn't good, like, for the next 2 or 3 weeks after that.
Right.
But they've gotten better. And, you know, you hear things as to what's happened. Don't know. Different coach. You know, maybe somebody else is calling the defense now. But they have changed. Chris said they have changed defensively. They played a 4-2-5 the first time, which is 4 linemen, 2 linebackers, and kind of a shell 5 in the back. To now playing more of a 4-3 to get more guys up front. And basically the secondary is in cover 2 all the time.
Okay.
So that may have helped. And yeah, they're still giving up. They gave up some points to Rockbridge.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave up some points to Jeff City. But, you know, you look at Hannibal. I know Hannibal minus Aeneas Williams. They held them to 27.
Right.
You know, and Elias saw how good Hannibal was in week 1.
Sure.
Then they only gave up 14 to Capital City last week. The defense is better. Don't kid yourselves. Their defense doesn't have to be great with that offense being able to score 35. You know, they scored 32 or more points in 8 games this year.
Right.
If the defense gets just a little better,
right.
You know, the results are going to be different.
Yeah. So you mentioned the fact that we have met once before, and I think it's one of those things where you look at it and go, sometimes, you know, I think maybe this will benefit them from having played battle so early, because sometimes when you're as a coach, you're trying to preach to these kids, hey, they're better than the last time we played them. Well, if you only played them 3 or 4 weeks ago, it's easy to hear that, and the kids go, yeah, we know, but we just played them not that long ago, and they weren't even good. Well, you played them all the way back in week three. So now we're weeks and weeks and weeks out from that first meeting. So it's almost like you can throw that first meeting out the window from the standpoint of, yes, maybe you want to try to do some similar things because you know we'll still have success against them. But that margin of victory, I think you can toss it out the window and go, that's so long ago, that game really doesn't have any bearing on this one.
I mean, you go back to that game. Battle was up 16-10 at halftime.
Yeah.
And doing math, that meant Hawaii scored 4-8 unanswered in the second half.
Right.
And Chris at the time said that may have been the best half of Hawaii's football that the program had played in years.
Okay.
And it was good. And it was really good. So, you know, you see that, oh, they beat them by, what would that be, 42 the first time. This game won't be close. I wouldn't read that into it. You know, battle's different. And, you know, Hawaii's, although getting healthier, this is still not the same Hawaii's team that played him in week three.
Okay.
So, I think, I talked to Chris about, you know, what do you take away from that? He said, well, you know, you go back and you look. What did we do that worked? And what did, you know, what were they doing that worked? And how did they stop us? And how did we stop them? And it's kind of like a chess match. Who's going to make adjustments?
Right.
You know, what adjustments do you think you have to make? And are they going to be the right adjustments? Because mm-hmm. you figure... Battle's got tape, too. They're going to make adjustments from
right.
what they did.
Right.
And he said, adjustments really will be the key tonight because, and not really at halftime. He said, first and second quarter, you don't want to fall behind. You may be adjusting on the fly, trying to figure out what they're doing differently and what you need to do to stop it.
And I think that's one thing that's been borne out as the season has been going on in terms of just the one thing that they've done is, yes, the defense has had to get better and has, but the offense has always been had that quick strike capabilities. And last week, from the Capital City perspective, I listened to that game on the radio, and you just got the feeling as that game had gone on, they got this pressure of, we know we can't really keep Battle from scoring, so we're going to have to match them score for score, and at a certain point, they stopped doing that. So how much of this tonight is just going to be, yes, there is that pressure or that inherent pressure that, you know, we're going to have to play pretty darn well, you know, to one, try to stop them, but two, to maybe keep pace with them.
I don't know that it's going to be that high a scoring game.
Okay.
We'll just start there. Ricky Dunn, Battle running back, he's a damn man.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
You're not going to put me in front of him because he would just maul me.
Right.
I'm not be very enthusiastic trying to stop him.
Right.
I would imagine, you know, I think he carried the ball 29 times against Capital City. And it was like 16 the first time against Elias. I think somewhere in that number's going to be somewhere in the middle of there, 20
okay.
to 25. He's going to be tough, and
okay.
and we'll talk about the weather a little bit again, too. The weather could have something to do with how much they try to throw the ball with quarterback Justin Goolsbee, you know, who is another weapon,
right.
especially, you know, if he gets pressure on him, he can run with the football as well. I think it's going to be interesting to see what, you know, how does Helias, one, they have to stop Dunn somewhere at least – at the line or a yard or two past it. You know, he's going to get his yards. But if you hold him to two or three, you don't want him running in the secondary.
Right.
Against really, really smaller kids trying to tackle him. Because
right.
that is a recipe to get beat.
Yeah.
You know, and Goolsbee the same way. You know, yeah, you may be able to get pressure on him, but if you can't bring him down, and he's a big, tough kid, it's going to be hard to bring him down. If he gets out of there, he can run. And if he's got open space, he can pick up chunks of 10 and 15 yards.
Right.
So I think that's going to be the key. What do you do to contain those two?
So I think the interesting thing about these things is we always talk about these things kind of in a vacuum. Is like we're assuming that there's nothing outside of just X's and O's. What do we do in these games to have success? Well, you did mention it, and we'll talk about it now. There is an X factor that comes into this game that's not an X or an O. It's maybe a Z from the standpoint of it sounds like there's weather brewing.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like it could be coming through right around game time. So one, let's just talk about the potential for the start time of this game being altered because that could have something to do with it. So just from that standpoint, it's we're hearing discussions that there might be a possibility that the start time of this game changes. It's set for 7:00 tonight, but that could change.
Right.
What's in the offing?
Don't want to scare anybody yet. I know that when we're doing this, they still haven't made a decision. But the concern is not rain. The concern is lightning.
Okay.
And you know, it just depends because, and I'm sure most people who've been around high school sports or sports in general know this, but there's a rule that if there's lightning within 10 miles, you're delayed for 30 minutes.
Right.
I mean, it's an automatic done for 30. Teams leave the field. and then the clock starts and you cannot resume until 30 minutes later. And that's assuming there's not another bolt, because like 15 minutes into your delay, there's
clock
another one,
again.
Clock restarts.
Right.
So this could go on a while. I think what, you know, they're not concerned about playing in the rain. Chris and I talked about that in the interview, and he said, you know, we try to if it's raining, we try to practice in it, because you never know when you're going to have to play.
Sure.
But you can't practice in lightning.
Right.
And so what you don't want is to start the game at 7 o'clock and have two or three delays, and you're there until 10:30, 11 o'clock.
Right.
You just don't want that. The decision about changing the game, if it does happen, will be made sometime this morning. And so when that happens, you know, check your social media, follow me on Twitter.
Right.
I don't care. But it'll be out there somewhere, right. And you'll know whether the game's going to change. I mean, the game could start as early as 5.
Or
could go back, if the front would come through early, they could push the start back later than 7 o'clock.
Okay.
7:30 or 8. I mean, we just don't know yet.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know that's going to make a whole lot of difference with the kids. They just want to play.
Right.
But
it does call into question how much of that is then just going to be the ability for these kids to stay focused on adapting to whatever comes. I mean, so much of this can be, especially, I'm not so much worried about it as if they have to start earlier, they're going to start earlier. They're going to be fine. If they have to start later, they start later. But it may just be, like you say, if it ends up being a thing where it does get interruptions, I think sometimes the team that does a better job of focusing through those interruptions is the team that ends up be having more success. So, you know, how much of this might just come down to being, if it does get screwed up, then whoever does a better job of managing the haphazardness of this might be better off.
This might be a good home field advantage for Helias, because after practice on Wednesday, you know, Chris was talking to the team and he said, everybody's staying after school. So nobody was going home. So they were going to be there anyway. I mean,
okay.
and then their normal pregame routine would start around 5 o'clock.
Okay.
So, I mean, they're going to be there. You know, they've got mass right after school, then come over to the stadium and just kind of hang out and start to get ready to play. So, I mean, they're going to be around, and they're, you know, they're there.
Right.
So
right.
I think that you know, it'd be battle that I think might have a little bit of a problem adjusting to it. But, you know, again, their kids just want to play football.
So this is all a long, long preamble to get to this point where we go, okay, so there's two big games going on tonight in the districts. We're hoping that at some, you know, by the end of the evening, whether it be a long evening, a short evening.
Early evening.
You know, we'll have, you know, two teams that come out on top. Let's start off with the other side real quick and just say, you know, who do you see coming out on top? I mean, is there any way that Timberland pulls an upset of Holt on that other game?
Well, if you take a look, they just played like a week ago, 2 weeks ago, and Holt beat them by a touchdown, and the game came down to the last few minutes.
Okay.
So if you're Helias and you want a home game next week, you can kind of go, well, hey, Timberland wins and we win. We, you know, we can play the whole district tournament at home.
Right.
So I think Timberland can do it. I just don't know that they will. So I think it'll be another. I'm gonna say Holt again in another one score game. Those one score win.
Okay. And so then the question is, who's playing in that game? Is it going to be Helias or is it going to be Battle?
Yeah. again, you know, last time 58-16. I don't. You know, what is that? 74 combined points. I don't know that they're going to get to that many tonight.
Okay.
I think both defenses. You know, Helias defense played well in that second half, especially. I think that they can kind of match that effort. It's going to be a matter of matching their second half effort for four quarters tonight, and I think that they can get that done. Now, what can Helias do? I don't know. They won't need to score 58, but they may need to score more than 28 to try to win. Can they get to 28? And if the weather, I mean, if they're playing and it's raining, that's kind of a battle advantage because you can hand the ball off. Now the ball gets slippery and you can fumble. But it's kind of easier to do that than it is to throw the ball in the rain.
Sure.
But I think that Helias can probably get something figured out. They're healthier. They're healthy up front again. As healthy as they've been since, you know, the end of the battle game, honestly.
Okay.
So I'm going to say Helias 35-20.
All right. That should do it for this week. For Tom Rackers, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune, and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Tom Rackers on Twitter at TJRackers. Thanks for listening.